Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Hello, New York. Thank you for coming. I am Ty Hildenbrandt. My compadre Dan Rubenstein is... What are you doing back there, Dan? He's poorly setting up a camera. We are recording this for the countless people who are at home who wanted to be here but couldn't. So I would like to kindly ask if everybody could one more time applause for the people who are at home.
Oh, yeah.
Was that good?
Is
that suitable for you?
Suitable.
Okay, good.
Thank you to everyone who came out on a snowy night. We have people standing over there.
I love it. Standing room only, Ty.
Standing room only. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time this evening. How are you, Dan?
I'm great. Thanks for asking,
Ty. This is our first live show.
It is. Did everybody get food, by the way? Is everybody fed?
No.
Send somebody up you don't care about to get you food. Because we don't want anybody to be hungry. I'm doing well, Ty. I am a little bit cold. Life is good. You know what? I was going to compare it because the solid fiance could not be here tonight because she just didn't want to come. No. She is at her bachelorette party, and I had to deliver her things that she forgot.
Things. What kind of things?
Lady things. I don't know.
Lady.
Ooh. Like clothing and stuff. And I walked into a brunch and got applauded and wooed by like 9 or like 12 beautiful women. This is better. That was like that was a checklist thing. This is better to me. So this is very exciting. Give a quick hand for Taylor. I was going to say he was... So Taylor is an assistant audio guy of ours. And I was going to say he's like spinning back there, but he's just pushing buttons. He's just literally
DJ Schwing back there. He is your reverb guy. If you've called the reverb line at any point, Taylor is the one who works the magic. Also, a big thank you to Hill Country Chicken.
Yeah. Eat food. If you eat food and like taking pictures like a weirdo, like me, tag it with, or tag them, SVNYC.
SVNYC is the official tagline for this.
Okay, Ty, tell the people what we're doing tonight.
So here's what we want to do.
Yeah.
With full recognition of the fact that there are people here who probably aren't huge college football fans. There are definitely some significant others who are here. It's a snowy night, you're dragging me out to this.
Yeah.
Right, you can nod. It's fine.
It's pretty great that they came out in the snow, by the way. I like that. I wouldn't do this for us.
With that as a backdrop, we're well aware that we need to try and make this fun.
Mm-hmm.
We need to try and put on a show. These people paid good money to be here.
They did.
And the plot for tonight is not so much to recap the season with any great detail. We're not going to dive into X's and O's or anything of that. But we're just going to try and do a fun little recap and talk to some degree about how we viewed the season and what our favorite talking points were.
Yeah, and real quick, if everybody could give a hand for Dabo Swinney! No, that is... No. No, that's all right. Okay, should we ask for a volunteer to help out with our placards?
We could.
I don't know if... I mean, I could do it. I don't want to be objectified, but I could do it.
Right.
Does anybody want to help out with our placards? Boom, right there.
All
right. You were too late.
We have
late
a volunteer.
And... Oh, okay.
We have an Ohio person.
Can everybody hear us in the back, by the way? Do we need more juice? You can hear. Perfect.
Everybody's
wonderful.
Good. Okay. So here's the plan. We're going to do a run through over the next hour or so about, I don't know, 6-7 things that made us happy this year.
Yes.
Things that we enjoy talking about, things that we want to talk about more.
Okay, so we have prizes. We're going to ask 2 questions later on. So if you're thinking about leaving early, you should still probably leave early, but... we have 2 pairs, because they were sent to us from, I think, the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. We have 2 pairs of iSlide sandals. So if you thought you were not going home with shower sandals that are very thick, you're probably right, because we only have 2 pairs. But we'll ask 2 questions about the history of the show, and whoever probably answers it right will ask 2 questions.
Yeah. That sounds good. All right. Can we get a drum roll, please?
Oh, there it is.
All right, Miss Vanna White.
What is it? Oh, there
Boulevard
it is.
Of Broken Teams.
Okay.
So, Boulevard of Broken Teams is sort of our weird little spin-off of the worst predictions we had this year.
Yes, and if anybody asks, we did not license any of this music. It's all incidental. It was played over the loudspeakers.
What was your worst prediction of 2016?
Oh, that's such a good question. I was very sarcastic about Washington for a long time. And so that was probably my sarcasm was very poorly placed there. I would also say I really like TCU. I think you did too. And
I have quotes from me on TCU.
I liked, honestly, this is the bummer of everything. I really liked Oregon. That was, I didn't like Washington, and I'm a very bad person when it comes to predicting things. As you know, what was yours?
My worst was absolutely TCU.
Yeah.
I thought TCU was going to make the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They had 6 losses.
Yeah.
Regular season, 7 if you count the bowl.
Yeah.
Some quotes from yours truly. Quote, "This is a ferocious defense that will serve as a great equalizer in the Big 12.
Oh, you're such a stupid, stupid boy.
Quote, "Who's playing quarterback this year? I hope to God it's Kenny Hill so we can party like
you're
it's 2014.
In such an impassioned way. Okay.
Quote, "This is a 10 or 11 win team that will contend for the Big 12 and maybe the college football playoff."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So here's the lesson, by the way. I don't know if you had more, because you have,
oh, I got
you have
more.
Many pages. Never trust anybody who's confident about their picking, about college football, on TV, on the radio. And everybody's wrong. Anybody who is like, I went 8-10 against 8-2 against, it's all garbage. They're gonna lose you money. Like Ty and I.
Like us. I missed very badly on Penn State, my alma mater.
Yep.
Quote, I saw there was a 24/7 article, 24/7 Sports, that talked about Penn State's playoff chances, and I audibly laughed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're super optimistic, maybe you can invent a 10-2 season.
Uh-huh.
If you're more realistic, 8-4, 7-5 feels about right.
Yeah.
And then they flipped the switch after the Michigan loss.
Mm-hmm.
They ran the table, lost the game to the Rose Bowl 52-49, but
yeah,
that sort of worked out okay.
Indeed.
What I did notice, so we're going to get to some other teams that we missed very badly on a little bit later on in the show. But what I did notice is that we weren't bad.
Is that true?
We weren't bad on a lot of these teams.
What about my 10-2 Michigan State? That turned out, I nailed that,
but everybody missed on Michigan State.
I'm sorry.
Everybody missed on Michigan State. Everyone missed on UCLA and Notre Dame and Oregon. The one that I found very peculiar was Auburn.
Okay.
Because I said, opening week against Clemson, yikes.
Yeah.
A&M, LSU, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama. I just listed 7 games. I don't feel great about any of them. They'll get to 6 or 7 wins, but I'm selling big on this team.
Okay.
And then I also said in that same preview that if Gus Malzahn makes it to 8-4, he should be coach of the year. Auburn went 8-4.
Did he win coach of the year? It did not happen. No, it did not.
It did not feel like he was good enough to win coach of the year,
this
or that Auburn
true.
Was good enough to warrant any kind of award whatsoever.
Okay. Anybody else that stands out to you?
I had Utah with 7 losses.
Okay.
They had 4. Thank you. I hear a groan.
Oh.
Thank you. Virginia Tech. I had LSU going 10-2.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
You know,
they were
Oklahoma taking a pretty big step back.
Yeah.
Wasn't as big a step as I thought, but Boulevard of Broken Teams feels like a pretty good way to phrase it.
This is true.
There were a number of really bad predictions.
Are you ready to move on to the next one?
All right.
Let's move on to the next one. Boom. I want to talk about being right about things. Oh, there it is. There it is. A little careless whisper. Fried chicken. This makes me feel uncomfortable in the best way, Ty.
X and O, what is X and O files, Dan?
Wakey Leaks.
Oh.
Which is already a nickname. We didn't need to come up with a second nickname, but we did it anyway.
No.
So, okay, we're not going to talk about Wake Forest football. I shouldn't laugh when I say the school name.
Is there anybody here?
Do we have...
When we say Wakey Leaks, they'd have no idea what we're talking about. Okay.
No. Okay, that's fine.
Some people... My lovely solid wife raised her hand.
Yeah.
Which is totally cool.
By the way, solid wife, you have something to announce.
I said that she was going to be signing autographs afterwards, but...
She is... If you go up to Kate and just meet her and tell her stories and really ask for stories about Ty, she's a very personable person.
$50
and she wants
a
attention.
Selfie, Johnny Manziel style.
Is that what it is? $50?
Gotta live.
I know, selling selfies.
Yeah. Sorry, Wakey Leaks. Here's what Wakey Leaks was.
Yeah.
The story unfortunately broke later in the year amid... playoff talk amid coaching rumors. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, coaching rumors, things like that. But basically, a gentleman by the name of Tommy Elrod.
Okay. You pronounce that really well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Every syllable. Yeah. Tommy Elrod was a former Wake Forest player, mm-hmm. a former Wake Forest coach. And after Jim Grobe was fired, mm-hmm. after they brought on a new coaching staff, he was, I guess you want to say, relegated maybe to radio commentary.
Yep.
And he did the only...
These weirdos know this already.
All right, but I'm just, you know, to provide
yeah.
a basis.
Yeah.
He did the only responsible thing
yeah.
and chose to leak game plans.
Yeah, he did.
Leak game data from Wake Forest to opposing teams.
What's notable about that? What to you is the exciting, weird part of that?
Well, what's exciting and weird about it is that I think sports media at large mm-hmm. tends to take like the moral high ground on it.
Sure.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
How Crazy. Could you do this to your own alma mater?
Yeah.
I tend to observe it more like he's a zoo animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure. Continue.
And so I'm just curious. I have many questions.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it on the show. What is the market value for Wake Forest game plans?
Yeah.
He didn't sell them for money, so I guess the answer is pretty low.
Yeah.
What I really want to believe about this is that it was like Rogue One.
Yeah, it was a whole scheme.
That they were climbing the tower, mm-hmm. pulling the...
Whoa, spoilers.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Pulling the hard drive out and beaming them up into outer
sure.
space. When in reality, it was just like an email to shanebeamer@gmail.com.
Yeah. Is that what it was?
Shanebeamer@gmail.com?
I don't know.
So I'm curious about what happened in the actual offering conversation. It felt to me like... Offering somebody a Wake Forest game plan is not like the most exciting conversation. it's not a sexy,
how
like,
do you, how
at
do you
a park
make that
outside D.C.
How do you make that approach?
I don't know, but my vision is, you know, Virginia Tech or NC State or whoever in these conversations. It's like if you were a kid and an uncle came up to you and said, do you want an autographed Mark Grace card? And you're just like, I guess. Do you want this... Do you want this Roddy White signed football? I suppose I like Roddy White. I apologize if you like Roddy White. But it was one of those things where like, yes, I will take this. And then you have to go back to your school and be like, so is anybody interested? Are we good?
Well,
I'm just very disappointed in how non-exciting.
I mean,
it
the
is.
ACC took this very seriously.
They did.
They fined Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
They fined Louisville $25,000 each. Shane Beamer is now an assistant with Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia fined him $25,000. Army issued this press statement
mm-hmm.
where it was like they're ready to bomb somebody
mm-hmm.
over this Wake.
They will do that.
Deal.
They will be cool.
Yeah,
will
I mean,
that.
So people they took it very, very seriously.
Yeah,
I feel like if this had happened in August, it would have been our new drum and fife.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
this would have been the anthem.
Yes,
for the 2016.
Oh,
season.
I didn't come up with adjectives. Hold on. Oh, I got a couple.
So like,
I got
yeah,
a couple.
Exactly. So
yeah.
It's like. This was kind of a big deal. Unfortunately, it broke at a very weird time.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I keep mulling over
mm-hmm.
is if I'm a radio announcer for any team, and if I have a problem with that team, you can be passive-aggressive as hell.
You can. Absolutely.
You know, and you can change minds. You can poison minds mm-hmm. out there. And I don't know what the Wake Forest community is like.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing.
Passionate.
Yeah, but like if you want to,
uh-huh.
you could really move the needle.
You could.
As a radio commentator.
Do people listen to Wake Forest on the radio? That's the question. I have no idea. Maybe they do.
The
I have
IMG
no idea.
Radio Network. I don't
yeah.
know. So he had potential just in his position to make some serious headway on
yes.
whatever like you know problems he had with the program.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he chose to steal game.
Steal game
what did
plans.
He steal? Do we know exactly what he stole?
No, I don't research. No.
No. Okay.
What's our next item? You right? Are you? Do you have more WikiLeaks?
No, I think that's
okay. I had my Roddy White goof, and I'm spent. Okay.
All right, let's go. Drum roll.
Here we go. What do we have? Yeah, there it is. Ty, this is the part of the show because this song reminds me of something, and especially because your wife is here. Were you like a very aggressive dancer at school dances that I just want to make you feel weird? Because I definitely was. I just went for it.
So true story.
Yeah.
At my wedding, we have pictures. And
yeah.
I sent actually a screen grab of this to Dan. Mama H raved about Dan's dancing.
This is true.
Raved about it and still raves about it.
Mm-hmm.
To this day.
You just got to go for it, Ty. You just
to
have
this day,
to go for it.
I said that you're getting married in a few short months.
I am.
Congratulations to Dan here.
Yeah.
So he's getting married in a few short months, and I
go
said,
"Go blue."
I said to him, "Thank you."
Yeah.
I said,
"I have to say that." She went to Michigan, and she's not here, and she was going to listen, and her parents are going to listen, and I'm very nervous.
But I said to my mom, yeah, Dan's wedding is coming up soon. And she's like, ask him about his dancing.
Yeah. You got to go for it, Ty.
He went for it at my wedding.
Yeah.
And it sort of left an impression.
I have surprisingly nimble hips.
My problem is I have, like, no motion below the shoulders when it comes to dancing.
And that's fine. If you don't trust yourself below the shoulders, you shouldn't do too much.
So that's been a problem for me.
Okay.
So what is this?
Oh, but you did not dance aggressively at high school dances?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
I went for it. Did not succeed a lot, but sometimes. So we have the hype train stuff. That's why we have the train. So I did a poor job not hyping Washington, and then we just celebrated Tennessee hype, and that went poorly early on, but they finished all right. So to you, what makes the perfect hype train?
So we saw two of them this year.
Yeah.
The two this year that really jump out were Washington and USC. And in general, this is like the most time I've had to think about anything.
Yeah.
You know, because we had pretty much the full week off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think, like, what makes a good hype train?
Start hyping Ohio State now that we have so many Ohio State people? Then be like, I think they're going to score points in a game. So, feel that hype. Get it. Ohio State's going to get in. They're going to have positive integers. They're going to be in. Okay, sorry.
So I'm thinking.
You got to play to the crowd, Ty. That's how these things work.
Well, two things that jump out at me.
Yeah, sorry.
Play to the crowd. Two things that jump out to me. First, as we saw with Washington and USC, they both had at least six losses last year. Or in 2015, six losses.
Yeah.
And beyond that, they had a ton of returning starters and sort of a schedule that was like, if you squinted, maybe you could see that being favorable.
Right.
That to me feels like the best ingredients for any kind of hype. That's like the Hyperloop ingredients.
The only problem with USC and Washington, especially on the East Coast, is how many people know a USC or Washington fan? Like, they have hype, but then you don't actually come across a lot of USC people or Washington people, so who cares? Tennessee, on the other hand, couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. Couldn't. Disappointment and heartache. They're so polite everywhere they go. That's the fun. That makes the hype train a little bit more fun to me.
Tennessee, so Washington made the playoff.
Yeah.
USC came on, like, no pun intended, a freight train second half of the year. Tennessee was really the one. Tennessee, well, they were the one. Now, they didn't have a bad season in 2015 by any stretch, but they brought literally everybody back.
Yes.
And everyone from Phil Steele to Jesse Palmer to Kirk Herbstreit to Dan and Ty, everybody was all in on Tennessee.
Yeah.
And so the question is, what went wrong?
Yeah.
Is it a coach? The coach is embattled at this point.
Now, you start naming people. The hype train thing, everybody says the hype train. That's like a common phrase now. Can we switch it to the hype jacuzzi, where it's just like you picture all of the people who are in on a team in a jacuzzi and just uncomfortably saying, like, I like their defense, and then, and then just, I want the hype jacuzzi to moving forward. We can get jacuzzi sounds.
We could get jacuzzi. We don't even have a hype train sound. We have a machine.
No, we have the Quad City DJs.
We have the Quad City DJs. But let's talk about Tennessee.
Okay.
Because Tennessee, we have, I'm sure, do we have SEC fans here tonight? Anybody? SEC? They're very sure. There we go. Okay. Sheepishly sort of raising their
Well, that's the Gator way. If you've seen them play offense, everything's a little bit sheepish.
But what went on with Tennessee?
Yeah.
Why was Tennessee not
They
better?
Weren't as good as better teams. It's okay. It happens. But it was fun watching. It was fun to watch them struggle.
It was fun. And now the question is,
And
I would expect the question's going to be, you know where this is going
what?
As a former Chip Kelly fan.
Yeah.
If it goes south, if the hype train crashes again for Tennessee in 2016, being so Chip Kelly's got some roots east of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going with this.
You think he's going to Tennessee?
Well, I think Tennessee fans want him.
No,
fans want him to go to Tennessee.
Of course. Tennessee fans want a lot of things if you've ever dealt with Tennessee fans. Yeah.
So what is the state of affairs in Knoxville? Where is this going?
Brian Kelly. It's smooth transition. Don't they follow each other? Butch and BK? That's what's going to happen.
Don't go. We'll get to Brian Kelly later.
Okay. Yeah, I think Tennessee is going to be fine. Everybody hates Butch, what's his name?
Butch Jones.
Yeah.
How much have you had to drink tonight?
I had one beer.
Yes.
And I am at that point now where you should keep an eye on me. Like, everybody has a friend where you're like, he's cool, but just, like, out of the side of your arm, make sure he's standing up straight. I've had one PBR, and I'm feeling great.
Okay. Okay. So,
yeah.
Brian Kelly. How do we go on Brian Kelly?
I don't know. Nobody ever knows.
Will Butch Jones be the coach in 2018?
No.
I think
they're not going to be good enough. That's yeah. okay. Somebody else will.
It's okay. Tennessee's a good program.
Yeah.
It seems as if our friend Travis Haney, who wrote a
There's a young up-and-comer at FAU. Who? No, hear me out. No, don't hear me out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, our friend Travis Haney wrote a scathing piece for 24/7 Sports about how it seems like things inside Tennessee have eroded a bit. Mm-hmm. Butch Jones, he's looking over his shoulder. He's anxious about his state of affairs at Tennessee.
If you ever look at Butch Jones, he always looks anxious.
Butch Jones has no neck. He's like the dad from Little Giants, Buzz. Yeah. Buzz's dad from Little Giants.
It's true. So, do you know what I remember about that movie? Do you remember what Buzz's dad did to Buzz? Like, that was a thing, like, before he went to sleep? In Little Giants. You have to have seen Little Giants in the last week or two.
Yeah, a million times.
Yeah. No, there was something like, he rubs buttermilk on his thighs before he goes to bed. That was weird to me as an 8-year-old. That wasn't okay. I've never heard of anybody rubbing... Okay, sorry. We're on a tangent now. But yes, Butch Jones has no neck. I agree. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Do we want to go to the next?
Let's go to the next.
Let's go. What do we have? I don't remember. Oh, yeah.
Everybody can clap for Coldplay at once if they'd like to.
Are you just air drumming Coldplay? God. I feel so cool.
I have lost all credibility as a podcast host.
Okay. So you want to talk about the SEC?
It just means... Four.
Just means four. Four losses each, baby. Other than Alabama.
With the exception of Alabama.
Yeah.
Roll Tide. Thank you. Every team in the SEC had at least four losses.
Mm-hmm.
I believe at this point everyone in the SEC is making about $40 million at this point.
Yeah, absolutely they are.
Alas, nobody can find a quarterback, and everyone is in search, in hot pursuit of the next great offensive coordinator.
This is true.
What is going on in the SEC? Why did everybody have four losses?
I like to picture it that all the coaches are the sweet baby boys of Greg Sankey, and they're all doing their best. They got sweetheart jobs. And then when somebody asks them, you know, have you found a high school quarterback and developed him? And they just sort of stare blankly, trying to think about what they put on their resume, and said, yes, maybe. And Dan Mullen can say that. But outside, Dan Mullen can say a lot of things. I would watch Dan Mullen with a cigar in his mouth all the time, by the way. No reason, but continue.
Well,
sorry,
So what's interesting is, and our friend Spencer Hall wrote something akin to this, but the question is, because literally every other SEC team in the span that Nick Saban's been at Alabama, every other team in the SEC's made a coaching change.
Yeah.
They haven't all been firings, but come hell or high water, like everybody has somehow made a coaching change in the span of time since he's been there.
Yep.
The question that Spencer asked is he driving the rest of the SEC crazy?
Yes, he is, because he's not human.
His stats are as follows. I wrote something down.
Yeah.
He's played in 5 national championship games. He won 4.
Mm-hmm.
He lost 6 games his first year, but since then his worst season was a 10-win season back in 2010.
Yeah.
And, of course, every other SEC team has made a coaching change.
Mm-hmm.
I got to believe on some level, this is like, what are we supposed to do?
It's true. I am picturing sometime in the very distant future, I'm planning on having grandchildren. I guess it's not technically up to me.
You got work to do.
I have work to do. But talking about college football 50, 60 years down the road or something with a wee ladder lass, I'm 1,000 years old, I apologize, and them asking like, wow, Nick Saban won so many games. Everybody must have loved him. Well... Everybody must have freaked out. He must have been a god. Like, well, I mean, Alabama. Ah, that's the problem, because he is wired in a different way.
He's wired in a different way, and people say, well, everyone wants their Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone wants to find that kind of talent. Everyone wants to recruit as well as he does, both in the coaching side.
Hold on.
That's right.
Everybody.
Got to get the hands going.
Got to get the hands going, yeah.
But it's not so much a talent thing as it is a consistency thing.
Right.
He's just more consistent than everybody else.
Yeah.
The talent, his third string could play first string at Notre Dame or Oregon or anywhere else.
Yeah.
So he's got incredible depth.
Did you enjoy watching the SEC this year?
It's funny you should ask that, because written on my note sheet here is, does the SEC have an enjoyable product on a basic carnal level,
yeah,
was the product entertaining?
I don't know. I keep changing the channel during the CBS commercials. They were just too much.
I was trying to think back to what I did before I had a podcast. Before I had a podcast, before 2008, before we were doing this. And
pee-pee, pre-podcast.
That's right. Before we had the podcast, how did I watch college football?
Mm-hmm.
And is that at all compatible with how normal people watch college football?
Right.
You don't have to watch 8 games at once. And I seem to remember quite well looking for the Brent Musburger game.
Yeah, of course.
Because the announcer was always like a draw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the announcer can make the game.
Yeah.
And if it were a boring game, if there were a lot of defense, if there weren't points, I would simply go on to another game.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the SEC falls in that category more often than not.
Yeah.
And sometimes when it does, SEC people really pride themselves on it. I don't know if they talk themselves into it. Maybe it's just their cup of tea.
Right.
But for me, it just hasn't been an entertaining product, and it's because there hasn't been good quarterback play. You know, the defensive players are going to play in the NFL. The offensive linemen are going to play in the NFL. Leonard Fournette, you better damn well believe, is going to play in the NFL. But quarterbacks,
it's not there.
Maybe.
It's not there.
Maybe in like 2 years, but right now.
They'll be better this coming year, but it was not fun. Can I change the subject real quick? Did you have those cheesy potatoes? Mine are sitting like right here, and I'm struggling mightily with the beer as well. Okay.
So, no, the answer is I don't think it was as, and it wasn't as bad as the NFL, which I believe the NFL is going on right now. Thank you for coming out.
Is there a score? It's Houston. Okay. It's such garbage.
No, because it hasn't started, or no, because it.
Oh,
because no, because it's Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a better product than that.
Yeah.
But it still isn't as enjoyable as some other conferences around college football. What was the most enjoyable conference for you?
Mountain West. I am Mr. Mountain West. I love Mountain West. I don't know. Here's the thing. Do you actively think that like that is a conversation that is any fun? Talking about what the best conference is, because we're going to talk about the Big Ten momentarily. I know, everybody get hyped.
Yeah,
people are on their feet, for those of you at home.
Yeah. Fear the turtle.
Taylor likes that in the back there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're a Testudo fan.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's terrible, he says.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay.
This is totally true. Once a week, I look for Maryland in the ACC standings. I was like, wait, what happened to Maryland? Okay. It's rough.
I did want to tell a story, though.
Sorry,
if I
please.
Could.
Sorry, too.
What's interesting, though, about the SEC, so it might not be like the most exciting conference, might not be the best product. It's still good football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by all means, it's good football. But I bumped into a woman.
Did you watch Georgia Auburn?
Unfortunately. Yeah.
That's who?
I bumped into a woman in the Charlotte airport who said that we were waiting for my horribly delayed plane from mm-hmm. Charlotte to Allentown. And I got to talking to this woman and her son. And I said, we were down in Tampa. We were covering media for the game, blah, blah, blah. And she says that, well, you know, I went to Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm rooting for Alabama.
Yeah, of course.
And I thought to myself, I looked at her first like she had two heads. I know this is a thing. Mm-hmm. SEC roots for SEC. But I couldn't help but think to myself, in what other realms of life is this acceptable? The only two that I could think up were the SEC and politics.
Yeah.
And we're not going politics, but... Those are the only two things that could come to mind. It's such a weird dynamic.
Yeah. I used to like Pete Sampras because he had poofy hair. So I have no
But
good
you weren't
reason
playing against
anything.
Pete Sampras.
No, I wasn't playing against Pete Sampras, but like to identify with something and somebody just because they're near each other. I never understood that.
It's like rooting for the Red Sox.
Right.
Because they beat the Yankees or because they play the Yankees.
Right.
And I just don't think that's acceptable. So.
Sure.
Anyway, there you go, SEC.
Get hype, Big Ten.
Shall we dance? Take the money and what is this?
What's Steve Miller Band?
Steve, no, I know what that is, but what is take the money and why
and run again and run again? I just you love the Big Ten, right? This year that was your
love
your
is
that was your
on
all
a
about
sliding
the Big
scale,
Ten.
But yeah, okay.
Right. So I watched the Big Ten this year and struggled. It was rough as well. Listen, we always love college football, but. It was not the most entertaining year.
It was very top-heavy.
And for the Big Ten to score, it was zero points. Anybody?
Did you get a stat check?
It was zero.
Yeah.
That's true.
There you go.
The Big Ten felt to me like, you watch The Bachelor, right?
I do.
Okay, and you very have closely. Strong thoughts about The Bachelor.
I have very strong, yeah.
So I don't watch a ton of The Bachelor.
We have claps here. They didn't clap for us.
No, that's fine.
They didn't clap for us. They're clapping for Nick
that's
Vile.
Fine.
Okay.
We'll take applause, Ty. That's how it works.
Okay.
No, it felt very much like it's called the hometown date.
Yeah.
That's what it is, where they go meet the family.
Right.
So it felt like the Big Ten was putting Michigan and Ohio State out front on like the hometown date or like Thanksgiving and saying, yeah, he's a city attorney, she's a famous actress, like they're beautiful, like look at all that they've accomplished. And then in the corner, there's like four family members playing with a train and looking real weird and with like shifty eyes. You're like, who are they? You're like, don't worry about Kevin. Don't worry about Sandra. And that's the Big Ten. It was so weirdly like top and bottom heavy that I couldn't fully get on. There was like 3 good weeks of football.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh would be the one on The Bachelor with like a weird tag.
Yeah, I can't remember
like
who he'd be.
Aspiring dolphin trainer.
Right.
That would be... Jim Harbaugh is like what happens when you try to teach human emotion to a computer.
Yes.
Like he knows what to say, but he doesn't know the cues.
Right, exactly.
And so he's been interesting to me. There are interesting personalities in the Big Ten. And to some degree, I think the personalities may be more interesting than the on-field product. That said, it was a good on-field product. You had, what, 4 teams that made the New Year's Six bowl games.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ohio State would have liked better results in the playoff, but they did make it. Penn State played a hell of a game in the Rose Bowl against USC.
What do you
USC.
Think was the big difference in terms of offensive scheme for Penn State this year?
After the Michigan bludgeoning,
yeah,
they decided...
No, like before the season started.
Before
the
season?
What was the big... The
coaching.
Difference? Specifically who?
Joe Moorhead.
And where did he come from? Which conference?
I believe he came from New York's one true team, the Fordham Rams.
It's very true. The writhing, undulating, dripping Pat League? Is that what we're talking about here?
That, I believe, is what we're talking about.
Just making sure.
But, you know, it was a good product.
Yeah.
Maybe not super exciting week in and week out, but there are interesting personalities now that James Franklin actually had... I mean, he's always talking, but now he's got something behind him.
Mm-hmm.
You add that to the mix of Jim Harbaugh. You add that to the mix of Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
You got P.J. Fleck coming in. We're going to talk about P.J. Fleck.
We are.
Are you a Flecker? Are you excited?
No. I think he's out of his mind, but... In a good way, I think. I'm just not sure where this is going to lead. Like, I think I've always thought the Jim Harbaugh, like, just life story is going to end weirdly. Like, not that he's going to die. I just think there's something that's going to be. I don't think he's going to die. I mean, eventually we all do. Spoiler alert. But I think something is just like, there's just something off about Harbaugh. And I feel like there's something off about PJ Fleck as well.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
I have thoughts.
Okay.
On PJ Fleck, but. Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten, it's doing well. This was a great season for it, and we'll see what happens moving forward. But
yeah, we'll jump in that hype jacuzzi.
Which did you enjoy watching more,
yeah,
SEC or Big Ten?
Gun
to your head.
I guess the SEC. I guess the SEC, just because there were enough new situations and players. You know, Texas A&M had some fun. Yeah, that Texas A&M-Tennessee game, inconsequential, but it was a fun game. There weren't as many of those, like the medium tier games in the Big Ten that really held my interest. Penn State Indiana was actually kind of fun at the
end. Penn State Indiana was fun, and Penn State will be fun to watch. The hype train's going to be rolling for Penn State this coming year for sure.
Absolutely. No. Hype jacuzzi will be bubbling.
Hype jacuzzi, excuse me.
Yeah. Next. What do we got? What do we got next?
Hello from me.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
So, oh, man.
Really getting emotional
when we were putting together what songs we were going to use. I was listening. I just happened to listen to this Adele song because it's wonderful, and I'm an emotional wreck every time I hear it.
Crying in a dark corner of your apartment.
Yeah. So we have a bunch of new coaches and new situations, and so there's a lot of emotions involved, a lot of change. What to you was the shocker? What to you was the story of the offseason coaching-wise? And why was it Willie Taggart's and my beautiful Oregon Ducks?
Nobody saw Tom Herman to Texas coming.
Yeah,
right?
I know. It's weird.
Now, the one that the head-scratcher to me, the story is still Matt Rhule.
Okay.
And it's not like the most exciting story in the world. I'll grant you that. But I don't get why they hired him.
Okay.
I like Matt Rhule. I think he's a good coach. I get why they would give him a long runway, seven years?
Right.
7 years at Baylor. I get why they would do all that. I don't get why they would hire him. Like, he's never been west of the Mississippi. Usually, for me, that's a pretty big red flag.
Right.
So I have a problem. I, like, I don't have a problem with Matt Rhule as a person, as a coach, as in anything, but...
I've heard he has all the video game consoles, so but he's going to be super fun to hang out with.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
So that, to me, is still the one that I don't get.
That's the shocker?
That's the one I'm still trying to comprehend.
Okay. I think that's fair. Ed Orgeron getting LSU was pretty great.
Do you think that LSU would have fired Les Miles if they knew that their coach...
They're going to end up with Ed Orgeron?
...was going to be Ed Orgeron.
They were just going to get back together with Edo. Yeah, if you had given them the full story that he would have won as many games as he did and they would have looked as impressive as they did and they almost scored against Alabama, like, there was a lot of really positive things. Like, they were knocking on the door of the 50 most of that game. So that's something.
I just feel like if they knew...
Right.
...it might not have been as quick a decision.
I think that was just done. I think that marriage was done.
PJ Fleck.
Yeah. To Minnesota.
I'm not a fan.
Sky Umar. Why? What rubs you the wrong way about PJ Fleck other than everything?
He's on a 2,000 milliliter drip of John Gruden.
Yeah.
All
the day.
You described him on the show as a giant cheese ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me feels about right.
Yeah.
I just don't, I get the enthusiasm. And I get that you need to be overtly positive.
Right.
And very much in front of the camera if you're at Minnesota.
He feels like a gym teacher that a lot of girls would have a crush on in high school.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like he's trying to, everything he does is a little manufactured and he's trying too hard. Had a great year.
Yeah.
At Western Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a very good coach. And I still would take him over Tracy Clays. I'm fine with him going in that direction.
Right.
I'm just as somebody who watches this week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these press conferences. I don't mind a guy with personality.
Right.
But it just feels like he's trying a little too hard.
Okay. I'm excited to watch. He's out of his mind.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. And Minnesota wasn't bad this year either.
Mm-hmm.
They were okay. They had, what, 9 wins?
Yeah, that sounds
They won the bowl game after all that controversy over Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where that goes.
How do you feel about your boy? I mean, you love hair, right?
I do.
That's a big thing. You have coaching hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bob Diaco.
Oh,
Nebraska.
Yeah. Breaking news.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Holy cow. So Nick Vial got the clap, and so did Nebraska and Bob Diaco.
Yeah.
We'll have to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Break down Bob Diaco for Nebraska people.
Bend but don't break defense.
Mm-hmm.
The best defense that Notre Dame had in the Brian Kelly era.
Is he weird? Is he one of those people?
He's
I've
a little
heard
weird.
He's weird.
Yeah. He's a little weird. He's got a very strong, unrelenting hairline, which I love. But, yeah, he's a little weird. He's not into the whole Twitter thing.
Yeah.
Not that that makes you any less a human being. He's actually probably on the right track.
But, yeah.
I think he'll do well in Lincoln. I would be very excited if I had him as my defensive coordinator now at Notre Dame.
Yeah,
I'll take him back. Does he want to come back?
Taylor, can we get a drum roll? I have a trivia question. We have an eye slide.
Uh-oh. Eye slide trivia question.
All right. So I guess people should just yell out the answer, and whoever yells out the answer first gets a pair of eye slides.
Sure.
Can you show them? They're over there on my bed. Can you show? They're real, and they're beautiful. These beautiful eye slides. What does it say on them? Is it the
Russell Athletic Bowl?
Russell Athletic Bowl.
Do we have? Oh, we have two pairs.
And we've got the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl as well. Look at that!
Wow.
You can't buy these in stores.
So they have
only
this
available here.
So I'm told from my good friend Rob, who's here. That this is all the rage with the kids nowadays.
I heard the same thing.
That but here's what I don't get.
Yeah.
I get the eye slide name, and I get why that's valuable, that you can just slide it right under your foot.
Sure.
Doesn't that describe all sandals?
No, I mean,
every sandal
ones.
I've ever had has been I just kick it on.
Like Tevas, you can't slide in.
Tevas. Okay.
Ty, do you have a read? Are we going to tell people to eat Blue Apron? Do you have one of those?
I have nothing.
Okay, good. All right. Let's go with what song did I ridicule Ty about liking many years ago? Pop song, popular pop song.
This is going to be embarrassing.
There it is. Boom. Do you still like that song?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Very good.
So now because you're first,
yeah,
you get to select between the Russell Athletic Bowl and the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. He's scratching his chin.
Good choice.
All right. Could even go one of each if you wanted to be.
Don't do that. That's ridiculous, Ty. Do you have a question about the history of the... I have another couple questions.
If you've
questions.
Got one. We only have one more pair of sandals.
I know. So what artist's Christmas album does Ty's mom own? That nope, that's not correct.
She
but it
may own Toni Braxton, but that's not
what? What? No, not Mariah Carey.
No.
Toni Bennett. No. Okay, this one. Okay, people this are not.
Have we even talked about this?
I think so. So Ty's mom. Actually, the only time I went to Ty's mom's house.
This is a very bizarre story.
Northampton,
Pennsylvania. So, Concrete Kids.
First of all, they're mirrors because they're shorter people. Sorry. I stood up in the mirror and I couldn't. That was it. I'm 6'1". I'm not a freak. And
I'm the tallest person in my family by
like
a full
by
head.
By far.
Yeah.
We love you, Hilden Branson, Colorado yeah. Sos. But no, she had on. We ate and hung out there, and we listened to the CeeLo Green Christmas album. And I was like, "You like CeeLo?" She's like, "Yeah, everybody loves CeeLo." I was like, "All right."
CeeLo, and what's funny about that is for Christmas,
yeah.
We got her an Amazon Echo Dot,
uh-huh.
which is like the hot gift, you know, yeah. voice control. Oh, what can it do? I said, "Well, you can stream music on it."
Yeah.
First one, stream CeeLo Green
of
Christmas.
Course.
So there's something
Alexa,
there.
Alexa, play Slim Thug.
I have to get to the bottom of this, but there's something behind that CeeLo Green.
Yeah. So nobody got that one right. Do you have a solid verbal historical question?
When Dan and I started the podcast back in 2008, he was doing a popular video series.
Oh, yeah.
What was the title of that video series?
Good branding. Everybody.
We have a lot.
Got a long time listen. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Yeah.
So you get the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Congratulations on your Buffalo Wild Wings ball.
There you go.
Big fans of the tour guy here in New York City. Yeah.
The stipulation is you have to wear them home.
You do. It's very slippery. All right. Do you want to go to the next item?
Let's go to the next.
Next item. What do we got? There it is. Oh, there it is. Oh, the smooth sounds.
I hate your guts.
Oh.
Gone with
the Winds.
The Winds.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little
How
bit
was your
about...
2016?
No. Can we talk a little bit about the problems we had naming these sleds?
Yeah, it was a G-Chat emergency.
It was a G-Chat emergency trying to come up with something. Gone with the Winds was Dan's idea. And like all of Dan's ideas, it was brilliant.
It was mean.
It was mean-spirited, but there was a brilliance to it. Both Notre Dame and Oregon went
4-8.
4-8.
But nobody cares about Oregon's record.
You got a new coach.
We did.
How do you feel about a new coach?
I feel very good. Willie Taggart's going to be wonderful. He hired a bunch of really good coaches, and he took less money to pay his assistants. And have you seen the new Oregon strength and conditioning coach?
No.
He looks like if you took that easel and just made a human that width on the bottom. He looks like a vending machine, and I'm very excited about it.
What's his name?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
So well, you're okay with Willie Taggart?
Yeah, I like Willie Taggart. I think he's going to do
well.
Who
is Willie Taggart? What do you know about Willie Taggart?
I know Willie Taggart is somebody who turns around teams. He reverses fortunes and for the better. And he is hopefully going to develop quarterbacks and change the culture in Eugene. That's what I think. I don't know.
Who else would you have wanted?
I would have taken Matt Rhule. That was the rumor. I really liked Matt Rhule going in. I would have also taken Ken Niumatalolo because then I would have been able to say Niumatalolo.
What about PJ Fleck?
So apparently Oregon people vetted him and they sort of did the full scan on his life.
And they listened to his jokes?
So Oregon and Nike people looked at PJ Fleck and just sort of like, no, we're good. We're good. Thanks. And that was that. It really wasn't a serious, supposedly, interview process.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get Willie Taggart.
Yeah.
Notre Dame also went 4-8.
They did. Not Everybody good. Can hold up the four like in the fourth quarter, but it's just also Notre Dame wins. And that's a fun little...
You got a new coach.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's is still kind of hanging in limbo.
Yeah. What was your favorite moment of the Notre Dame season?
The Texas game before they lost?
Yeah. It's so specific.
Week one?
Yeah, okay.
There is a problem that is set to emerge in Notre Dameville.
Mm-hmm.
And
there were at least 10 games where there were zero Notre Dame players that found themselves stepping on another player.
At least 10 games.
Notre Dame players did not step on anybody. So
here's the current problem with Notre Dame football.
Yeah.
The current problem is there are two groups of Notre Dame fans.
Mm-hmm.
There is the first group, which I would lovingly refer to as mouth-breathing trolls.
Taylor, play Moonlight Serenade some more, please.
Yeah, sorry. We're going to talk about Notre Dame fans. Keep going.
Mouth-breathing trolls.
Yeah.
And they hate Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
They hate his guts. They'll take out newspaper ads. They'll fly banners over stadiums. They'll hate watch games just to see what he does wrong next.
Yeah.
They hate his guts. So it doesn't matter. He's irredeemable in their mind. That's group one. Group two, I think, is where I am.
Okay. Where are you?
And we're pretty much all just like, what's up, Ryan?
Yeah.
Like, call us after spring break.
Yeah. Okay.
There are no Brian
that
Kelly...
That sounds like an exciting time to be a sports fan.
But this is a problem. There are no Brian Kelly diehards out in the wild.
Sure.
There is nobody out on any Notre Dame message board. There's no one writing the column. There's nobody out there who's like, Brian Kelly needs... Are you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is either totally ambivalent on Brian Kelly,
yeah,
or they hate his guts. And that, to me, is the signal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the West Wing signal. That's the signal to me that there's going to be a coaching change. And that if we have another coaching change, that's when we end the podcast.
I will not be able to
sustain another coaching search in Notre Dame.
It's going to be so fun. Who are they going to take?
I don't... Do I have to do this here?
Yeah, who are they going to take? Are they going to go Joe Moorhead?
No! Here, does anyone? No.
They're not going last.
She said Les Miles. It goes, nah. I'm just kidding. I have a flow chart in my mind that I finally articulated for how Notre Dame's going to hire their next coach.
Yeah.
And why I'm worried about this.
Okay.
Would you like to hear this?
I'd love to.
Can I indulge?
Is it going to be like Josh McDaniels?
No.
Is it going to be somebody like that?
Well, so here's the problem. Notre Dame has two fundamental problems when it comes to hiring a head football coach.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that they just cannot possibly comprehend the notion that their job isn't the best job.
Okay.
All right? Like, it's a good job. It's Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And it's legendary.
As all people in Southwest Indiana think about themselves. There's nowhere better than here.
But I mean,
it's cold and ugly.
It's a good job. It's a good job. It's not the best job.
Okay.
But people cannot comprehend that at all. They're just like, well, Urban Meyer coached here. He's named after a pope.
Sure.
Like, why? No.
I like that Urban Meyer didn't even land. He flew over Indiana. It was like, nah, keep it going. Let's go to Florida.
So initially, whenever the job comes open, there will be this initial surge on message boards and wherever that they're looking at Urban Meyer. They're looking at, I don't know, Nick Saban.
John Gruden.
John Gruden. Yeah. Whatever your top tier is, Notre Dame will be considering them.
Yeah.
And because of the obvious challenges and restrictions and whatnot, they will all inevitably turn Notre Dame down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we enter into phase two of the flow chart, which is Notre Dame people wanting above all else. And this might be why people don't like Notre Dame. Notre Dame values being seen as smarter than you.
Yay. So
they really, truly do.
Yeah.
And so it's like, maybe we could hire the home run candidate who's just boring.
Sure.
You know, like, you're going to get good candidates. Maybe Mark D'Antonio will come. We can hire him. It doesn't require any thought.
So you want somebody with head coaching experience. You want somebody who, you know, runs a confident, decisive offense. Somebody who maybe knows the lay of the land at Notre Dame. You know, somebody maybe that is currently a head coach, knows the rhythms of college football in 2017. Somebody like Bob Davie. Bob Robert Davie.
But this is the problem. The problem is that there are a lot of smart people out there, and they have this glaring tendency to overthink everything. They've done it two of the last three coaching searches now.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kelly, for all intents and purposes, you might hate him morally, you might not like him schematically.
Right.
But for many reasons, he was the perfect fit for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Because he was the boring hire that they didn't have to think about. And so what's going to happen inevitably is there's going to be a guy like a Mark D'Antonio, or who, I don't know, I just keep saying D'Antonio because he's boring, but there'll be a boring, good candidate.
Disagree.
A good candidate who they don't have to think about, a no-brainer. We could hire him, or do we want to hire the off-the-radar guy?
Right.
Do we want to hire the guy who...
Mourinho.
Knows Notre Dame and, you know, doesn't have the resume, but he could be a diamond in the
rough. God, Ty, you're going to be so unbearable once they fire Brian Kelly.
It's the Brian Kelly.
So bad.
It's the Brian Kelly formula versus the Charlie Weiss formula.
Yeah,
and I just don't have enough confidence in them to not go with Charlie Weiss again.
Okay,
so that's where I stand.
All right, can you play Moonlight Serenade again, please? Thank you. It makes me feel good. Do we have any more of these?
I believe that would be...
Are we all out? Okay, so we have a microphone. We have some time. If anybody has questions, if you have any questions about the show, really get personal about it. Ty likes going there. All right,
For those listening at home...
Yeah,
we're running a microphone cable.
It works.
Hey, Verballers. Hope you're enjoying this recording of our first ever live show in beautiful New York City. The show went well. So well, in fact, that we may end up doing it again in the near future. So... stay tuned to solidverbal.com and all of our social media feeds if you might be interested. In the meantime, though, this special episode is brought to you by our good friends over at Indochino. What's Indochino? Oh, I don't know. Just the best place a guy can find a tailor-made suit? You know you want one. Every guy does. Get one through Indochino. It's one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands out there. They are making it easy for guys to get great-fitting, high-quality suits and shirts at an unbelievable price. And on top of all that, it works like magic. Here's how it works. All you got to do is visit Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Or drop by one of their 9 North American showrooms. You can pick from hundreds of fabrics and patterns. Choose all of your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and much, much more. Submit your body measurements. Then all you got to do is kick back and relax. Kick back, relax, get ready to step into the best, most stylish suit you've ever worn. You'll get it in just 4 weeks. Right now, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com. Just enter SOLID, S-O-L-I-D, at checkout. That is 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, shipping is free. One more time, Indochino.com. The promo code is SOLID for any premium suit at just $389 and free shipping. You'll never have to worry about badly fitting suits or expensive trips to the tailor again. Get ready to look like $1 million. This episode is also brought to you by our good friends over at Blue Apron. You've heard us talk about Blue Apron before. If you're like the solid wife and I, you work a long day at the office. It's hard to come home and find time to grocery shop, let alone cook a delightful feast. That's where Blue Apron comes in. Head on out to blueapron.com/solid and pick out some meals that you want to cook. Blue Apron, they'll deliver it right to your door. They can deliver to 99% of the continental United States. They will also ship you the exact amount of each ingredient that you need to cook each feast. Some meals that are available in January are seared pork chops with farro and cranberry chutney, spaghetti squash and marinara with mushrooms and garlic knots, even spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage and furikake. All that and much, much more right now. If you head on out to blueapron.com/solid, you can get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping. Again, by going to blueapron.com/solid, you will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait a second longer. That's blueapron.com/solid. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Ask anything you'd like.
This is not too personal, but I was unconvinced about Lamar as the Heisman.
Same.
And so who do you think was the best college football player this season?
Wow.
That's a really good question.
The Heisman conversation.
So if we're going to talk realistically about the Heisman, you got to sort of eliminate people like Jonathan Allen and Arden Key and guys like those guys were excellent. I would have gone to Deshaun Watson. I think I would have. And I also would like to congratulate the Solid Verbal for lighting a fire under Clemson all of these years. And finally getting them to the national championship. Yeah, I probably would have gone Deshaun Watson just because he beat really good teams and he was sloppy, but I think the totality of his season was the most impressive.
Did you see that Clemson Kings sweatshirt, by the way?
They discontinued that within like an hour.
Really?
Yeah, Clemson didn't sign off on the copyright.
Okay.
Bummer. Yeah.
I'm still a Lamar Jackson guy.
All right. Questions. Here we go. Right here.
You got another question.
Okay. We're going there next.
What is the weirdest or most personal reverb you've gotten?
Oh man.
Actually, Taylor, if you want to grab the mic too.
Yeah.
Because he listens to all of them. I don't hear
all
of them.
Can we get an ovation for Taylor, please?
Absolutely. Oh, wow. Standing right here.
So before he answers, let me tell you a quick story about this guy.
We got a dick pic once, but that wasn't... We did. No, we really did.
We really did, yeah.
Sorry. Hey, you know what? Congratulations. Congratulations.
Let me... A quick tangent about Taylor. He had... How many years have you helped us now?
Probably three, maybe four-ish.
Yeah. Three, four years.
There, yeah, a good chunk.
He has always, without fail, asked, what more can I do this season?
Yeah.
And even before I come up with ideas... He's got ideas.
Mm-hmm.
He's always throwing ideas at us. And so he is a huge part of why
enormous asset.
Our shows work as well as they do in season and even in the off season. He's just constantly churning stuff out. And, you know, we owe a lot of our creativity to what he's able to do. So thank you.
So what is...
Thanks,
yeah.
Guys.
Well deserved. So what are some of the weirder reverbs? So I don't listen to all of them until I hear them on the show.
So one time last season, I forwarded this one to Ty specifically. It was about a minute long, and it was a TCU fan. I think he was doing a bit, but he was like talking about how like him and Baylor fans were coming together in church, and then he just started screaming about how much he hated Baylor, and like it went totally off the rails. And Ty was like, "Do not put that in. Yeah. Whatever you do, like don't
hard
do it."
Pass.
That so. Was yeah. That was
yeah. We did get that dick pic.
That was weird.
So it was a Google phone number that we had or something like that. Yeah. And I guess you can receive text messages through there.
Yeah.
And this was just on a Tuesday night in like May. And it wasn't a reverb, but it was to the reverb line.
It was to the reverb line. It was a wrong number.
Yes.
We also,
I really hope so.
Yeah, I really hope so. We also got one that it was somebody who was in town. It's like, yo, I'm in town. Looking for crack. I'm never quite sure what to do with those.
You know, that's typically how crack is sold over voicemails. Hey, so it's me. I'm around.
Yeah.
And give me a buzz. I'm looking for crack cocaine.
We've gotten obviously the ones that are totally off the rails, you know, with either genitalia or looking to score.
Yeah.
We've gotten some that are really mean.
Yeah.
Mean-spirited.
That's okay.
And typically the MO for those is they'll hold their phone up to their computer speakers as they, and these, a lot of these are off-season, by the way.
Yeah.
They'll hold their phone up to their computer speakers. They'll record the voice message, like with us playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it's done, they'll offer some sort of biting commentary.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Yeah.
Absolutely. So. Roll Tide in the off season. All right, over there. What do we got? Questions.
You're going right there in the middle. Yep.
Right there in the middle. We're going to maroon next and green.
So, tell me about the time that Dan, you've made Ty the most uncomfortable of any time that you've ever made.
It might have been like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how uncomfortable Ty gets because that's an emotion you feel. So, at what point do you feel like I really? I think I've asked you if you were a good kisser, if you considered yourself a good kisser or something like that.
Yeah. Well,
do you?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Where's Kate? Yes? Thumbs up from Kate.
Thumbs up, Tys. Oh, she went like that, though.
Oh, she did.
Oh, wow. She wavered. No, it's, you know, I don't know if it's
about tenderness, Ty.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a specific event, but so I have this. I have, like, notes.
Yeah.
Some structure for like where this should have gone or could have gone. He doesn't.
No.
And he never does. And so inevitably we have this push-pull every single time we hit record where I've got a general sense for what I want to do.
Yeah.
And he's just trying desperately like a tractor beam to pull it off course.
Yeah.
And so it's not any one specific thing. I would say it's pretty much every show where something like that happens and there is this moment of sheer panic. What the hell... How the hell am I going to go?
You can control it.
I can control it, but that to me is always That's what makes me more uncomfortable than any weird question you could ask me.
So I remember, this was years ago, I remember feeling your discomfort. And it was when I asked you if, like, Charlize Theron moved to, like, the Allentown area. And this is when he was super single. I guess. I don't know. And I said, if he were to, like, run into her, does he... And, like, she was, like, flirty. Did Ty think he could, like, pull it off? Like, if she was into it, and Ty, like, just started stumbling and was like, well, I could talk. And he was just...
I had no answer for that.
Yeah. I think you would struggle. I think that would be rough. I think you would struggle.
I would definitely struggle with that.
Yeah. I might be all right, but I think you'd struggle.
It's hard to make Dan uncomfortable.
Yeah. You've done it a couple times. When we've had Ryan on the show, when we've had Ryan Nanny on,
yeah,
he's pretty good. Because you guys started a wager about when I was going to get engaged, and that made me uncomfortable.
We made it. We missed it by a few months.
Yeah.
And for your upcoming wedding,
yeah,
there may or may not be preliminary discussions about a wedding pool.
I love it. So, let these people participate.
At some point, you will go on a bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be away from the recording.
Yeah.
And it's at that point that I will strike.
Good. Great. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Next question.
So I think that's the... I don't know.
What do we got next? We got one all the way in the back.
In the back.
I don't know if our cord can reach, but we can try.
We've got maroon. We've got all sorts of gray around.
I don't want to drop this.
Or you can come up.
Oops.
Oh, no.
Oh, thanks.
There we go.
I thought I wasn't supposed to go yet. But, okay, so my question is, Urban Meyer hit a pretty low mark for looking miserable on the sidelines this year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Have we hit the bottom, or can he go lower? I am a Buckeye, so this is more out of concern for Urban Meyer than it is for...
Yeah, he's an unhealthy person.
A concerned patron is what we got here. Yeah. Well, I mean, he left Florida because of health concerns. It's hard to be more miserable than that.
Right.
But in a pure comedic sense.
Can Urban Meyer dip lower?
I mean, he could be Nick Saban.
Yeah. I
mean, Nick Saban's like absolute zero.
Yeah, but he hasn't had the health issues that Urban has had. I think Urban can dip lower. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well... Let's see. Moving forward, they have like a 5-star everywhere on their like 3D.
Yeah.
So that will make it even more painful if they lose a game because they're more talented than everybody. And he's never been in this kind of position with this kind of depth, I don't think. And the Big Ten is garbage. Like, the Big Ten is not great. So if he loses a game to... Like, he almost lost Northwestern this year. Ohio State almost lost... So if he loses a game like that... That's going to be rough. That's going to be a rough bounce back. That would, like, effectively, if they had already had a loss and that takes them out of the playoff or something like that, yes, I think he can go lower.
We had talked about...
Shout out to Northwestern. You're going to kill a person.
There we go. I got a Wildcat. We had talked about earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Is Nick Saban driving people crazy? Mm-hmm. The reason, if there is one, that Nick Saban's driving people crazy is because he wins, he's consistent, and year in and year out, he's nearly impossible to beat.
Mm-hmm.
What is more frustrating than knowing that you should be beating, that you should be winning, that you should be doing more, and you're unable to do it?
Yeah.
Now, Urban Meyer's never, for any extended period of time, found himself in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
But the Big Ten has gotten better. And this year, 31-0 in the playoff is clearly something to be frustrated about. So we will have to see moving forward. There is room to sink.
About sad Urban Meyer is he, when he was like at his lowest, like visually, he was eating like a personal pan pizza. Has anybody ever eaten a personal pan pizza, like, in a good mood? I don't think it's a good mood food. Shout out to Arby's.
Book it, man.
Yes.
There it is. True.
The gold stars. Thank you.
Fair enough. An adult eating a personal pan pizza. You're just in an airport, and you're having a sad lunch. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all it is.
So there you go. There is room. What else we got here?
All right. We're moving counterclockwise.
Did I hear that there was a green?
Yeah, green right here.
Oh, green.
Boom. That's
green.
Easy.
Okay.
There you go. It's more of a forest.
Not to call you out on something you promised to do earlier in the season and seemingly neglected. Who won Fantasy Things?
Oh, we're going to do a show.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine. We haven't tabulated anything.
Are you the gentleman who's been tweeting us about this?
No.
Okay.
We have a guy.
He wouldn't be able to prove it.
Let me tell you, we got a Fantasy Things guy who is like, what's the status?
He probably has like yarn on a wall connecting fantasy like, scores.
Kerry Matheson. Yeah.
So we have to tabulate it.
I tabulated the results. The plan was to have a listener help us with that.
Yeah.
And like all great plans, it fell by the wayside by like week two. And so we have this really elaborate spreadsheet that does the math for you. Mm-hmm. And it would have worked great if we had done it week in, week out, 1-0, 1-0 to kind of add things up. We stopped in earnest. We stopped count around.
Josh Rosen screwed me with the like he's going to be the first pick of the 2018 draft.
We stopped around week six.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, it was dead even.
Yeah.
It was 19-19. I feel like, and I had jotted this down, Tom Herman coaching rumors was a thing.
Yeah.
Like that was a very prevalent thing.
You took like Ohio State baby somethings early on.
Yeah. The baby, but Ohio State's turnover.
That was a dumb pick.
Well,
it was super dumb.
But in hindsight, you had Michigan State disrespect.
Yeah, everybody disrespected Michigan State.
And so like that's kind of the gray area.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, we are going to tabulate. We are going to have a final answer.
Yeah, I feel like I won, though.
All right, what do we got? What do we got? What do we got? Okay, we're going here. Maroon, I swear to God, you're next. I swear to God, I've got you, Maroon.
Ty, have you set the over-under for utensils at Dan's wedding reception yet?
Utensils at Dan's wedding? I don't know if everybody
knows. Have I told you about the food at my wedding?
You told me about the food.
Yeah, so you have inside track.
So I have this thing.
Yeah.
And the Solid Wife will attest to it. I'm sort of unbearable at a wedding, but I came to a point in life, like most people do outside college, once you get outside college, where everybody got married all at once. And I found myself going to 6 weddings in 5 weeks.
Stupid.
Which is like nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know, I'm younger and I'm single. And I'm like, okay, it gives me something to do. But it's still a lot to manage. And
do you ever pick up somebody at a wedding?
No. No.
Really?
I'm a Notre Dame fan. No.
That's true. I was going to ask for Moonlight Serenade.
So,
yeah.
So what I started doing because we went to so many of these is creating some sort of betting pool.
Mm-hmm.
People could bet money if they want to, but they don't have to.
Right.
Just like a sheet, you know, like a Super Bowl prop sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite prop bet is always how many utensils will be at the wedding plate. So when you sit down at the wedding
plate.
You're
crazy, Ty.
You got to count the butter knife. I am very crazy.
Yeah.
The butter knife is always the one that gets you. The over-under is always 5.5. Always 5.5. So the next wedding you go to, you and your friends can wager on utensils, over-under 5.5. I am going to actually make it 4.5 for your wedding.
What's the surest bet on your wedding pool?
The surest bet is the bridesmaid crying during her speech.
Oh, okay.
The maid of honor crying during her speech.
Okay.
That's always like less than even money.
Yeah. I would see the flower girl or ring bearer spooking, I think, is a big one that I appreciate.
That's like a 20-1.
Yeah. I like that one.
The 20-1.
That one always feels good.
Yeah. So there will be a pool, and it may be posted for Dan's wedding. I don't know if he knows that or approves of it, but
fine.
We're just sort of working this out on the fly.
Maroon.
So Ohio State's lost 3/4 of its secondary in the last 2 years. This year, they're all expected to go in the first and second round. At what point does the amateur-professional paradigm become blurred? And what does this mean for the future college football, especially because there's this new pay-for-play league in Southern California
That's
coming
true.
Up? Where, you know, kids can just bypass college altogether and earn, you know, up to $50,000 a year playing right out of high school.
This reminds me of that one scene.
That was a thorough question.
I was going to say, that reminds me.
This I feel reminds like I'm going to get AP scene, credit.
The scene in Old School during the debate where they ask about biotechnology.
Yeah, absolutely.
The paradigm. Yeah.
The paradigm. Well, it's shifting, Ty.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's an interesting question. And now, of course, there was a story that was published, I think, just this past week about they may be trying to start like a secondary developmental league for kids who decide that college isn't for them. They maybe just want to try and develop their skills, go right to the NFL. So, if you're a school like an Ohio State, you can manage it because you've got a revolving door of talent that comes in year in and year out. And clearly,
it plays in front of everybody. They're on national TV.
They've clearly proven that they can manage that kind of revolving door and that they can continue to be very successful. I think where it really affects teams is if they're not Ohio State.
Right.
You know, if in fact you ride a heater with a few players that are good enough to go to the NFL, they leave you and now you're high and dry. Like there are plenty of schools out there that don't have that kind of pipeline.
Right.
Like Ohio State. And I think it affects schools like that much more so than it does Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't know if that league is going to... The league is a good thing, hypothetically, if it gets people paid and if kids really don't want to go to college and they want to get to the NFL relatively quickly. But yeah, there's too much attention, there's too much national TV exposure to play at Ohio State. I don't think it's going to end anytime soon.
No. Yeah. So I think for now we're okay.
That was a hell of a question.
That was
though.
A very
you should
good
be
question.
Proud of yourself.
All right. Do we have any other questions?
What else do we have? Right here.
We got
then
questions.
We're going around. We'll get to everybody. Also, what time is it? It's 9:25. We're going to go. What's the name of the bar we're going to after this?
You picked it.
Oh, yeah. We're going to Black Door after. It's down the street. If you want to come and drink, let's drink. I'm going to be a mess.
Ty, what was the bigger surprise? Notre Dame's year or Penn State's year?
Ooh. Wow. I think Notre Dame's year. I think Notre Dame's year. 4-8's, that's a pretty big black eye.
Hold on. What was the record?
Yeah, shut up.
Sound.
4-8's a pretty big black eye, and I'm more stunned because they had everybody back. At least so it appeared. And what everyone underestimated was, despite the fact that they had huge numbers back, they lost Jalen Smith on defense. That was a big deal. People didn't realize how big of a deal that was. That was a big deal. They lost Will Fuller on offense. And people said, well, you know, they got...
Who?
They got
big Bill Fuller?
Big Bill Fuller, excuse me. They've got other talent coming up behind. Well, what happened inevitably was DeShone Kizer didn't trust his wide receivers. He didn't know who they were. The defense was a mess really at all three levels. They lost Jalen Smith. They lost guys along the line. They lost guys in the secondary. So I think there were warning signs that it could go south for Notre Dame, just not to this extent. Nobody saw it coming to that extent. Penn State, you could, like I said before, you could squint and find a way for them to go 10-2. And it felt like with their schedule, it looked easy enough that they could, at a minimum, go 7-5, 8-4. So for them to go 10-2, that was a surprise, especially how poorly they looked in the early part of the season. But for Notre Dame to just not get it together and just be a total mess all year, I
mean, they still almost beat all of the service academies.
This is what I have to deal with. But yeah, so Notre Dame.
I think it is
Notre Dame
as
well. The long-winded answer.
All right.
Booth. Ty knows where this is going. Ty, what was your favorite Notre Dame win this year? The first, the second,
win.
The
brutal.
Third, or the fourth?
I actually have to think very hard to figure out which games they won, which is not a good thing. I mean, I have a couple favorite almost wins, and
nice.
I think those
we all do.
You know, I don't even think a win was one that I would pick. I mean, as horrible as that is to say for a Notre Dame fan, I think the loss against Texas was the high point for me.
Wow.
No, because seriously, think about it. If you think about it, at that
this
point in the season.
Makes me so happy.
Still a dick.
They fired their coach.
I mean, but think about this. Start of the year, Notre Dame and Texas, at least through a half of that game, people are tweeting, Texas is back.
Mm-hmm.
This is the game of the year. We were none the wiser at that point. Everyone thought that, this is... Both these teams are going to continue on this trajectory. I remember Mark Schlabaugh wrote something for ESPN.com. Notre Dame's not been eliminated. They have not been eliminated from the playoff. They just need to win out. They've got this. At that point in time, it was like they lost. It was a great game. It was close enough that later in the year, if they're able to run the table, people will still take them very seriously. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom fell out. So the answer for me is not a win, but the Texas loss.
All right, non-Notre Dame questions.
All the way. Okay, we got some questions.
We got some non-Notre Dames.
Sure. Dan, you had mentioned earlier that your fiance is a Wolverine.
Yeah.
How do you manage being in a relationship, marrying somebody who is a fan of a different team than yours?
It's very easy. She doesn't watch a lot of games. she doesn't. But she is very, like... This show is about honesty, so I'm not going to start or sort of covering things up. So she is a very bad person to watch Michigan games with, but not and Richard knows because he's been over, not for reasons you'd think. Like, I think it was the Michigan State game. We were watching it, and early on, Michigan was struggling to move the ball or something
first
like that. It was like the first, it was one of the first drives of the game. And yeah, Michigan State scored, and then Michigan had the ball, and they went like 3 and out, or they quickly lost the ball. And it was like 2nd and 7, and Wilton Spate threw an incomplete pass. And she hit me and went like, oh, as if they were grossly incompetent. And every single meaningless play was like an, oh, go blue. So it's not too bad. She doesn't pay attention to a lot of the games. We had people over for the Florida State game, for the bowl game, and everybody was just sort of bored and eating chili and
She isn't a diehard, which makes it makes it all right.
We have had problems with diehard Michigan fans, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Michigan is not quite in the same stratosphere as, like, Florida State.
Really?
And I said not quite. In
okay.
The same.
That's fine.
They're not there yet, but you think they're there.
Yeah. So, short answer is, it's fine.
Wow. All right.
Go Blue.
Go Blue. Okay.
That's actually a very good segue. Which fan base is the most insufferable?
Most insufferable.
That's a good question.
Michigan made a push this year.
Michigan made a hard push in 2016.
Wow. I would. It's like seasonal. You know, it depends right. on the circumstance. When things were going sideways with Jameis Winston, mm-hmm. obviously Florida State won. They were a great team.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston was a great college football player. There was baggage.
But see,
I'm sure everybody knows. But to simply acknowledge that baggage brought on a lot of hate. Mm-hmm. And that was tough to deal with on the Florida State
side. I judge a bad fan base by how they are in, like, March, how they are in June. Not when a team is getting all the tension in the world, but just how they are normally. What their homeostasis is like. It's a big word.
Homeostasis?
Yeah. I think the answer is Tennessee. I think it's Tennessee. There is. It does just mean more to Tennessee fans.
Four.
SEC
Excuse
fans.
Me.
It just means four. There is just something about Tennessee, like, what's the term? Like, resting bitch face? That's. I feel like Tennessee fans just, like, at all. So we have orange in the back.
Sorry.
There's just something about being a Tennessee fan where you're just, like, always on edge and always ready to attack somebody, which just seems exhausting. I don't know how you keep that up all year. So that's my answer.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll come back to Michigan for a second. I wouldn't say that they're the worst fan base, but what amazes me about the Michigan fan base, at least through our lens, is you never quite know what's going to set them off.
Right.
Like, on one show, you could just say, Michigan is terrible.
Right.
And they'll be like, ha, ha, ha. Cool. You could say, like, Jim Harbaugh, we don't like the play he called on third down there, mm-hmm. and you will get a mountain of tweets.
Absolutely.
Like, the most obscure thing will set off Michigan fans.
Yeah. Which is, this is not a well-known thing, is New York is filled with Michigan people.
I know.
It is completely filled. Like, I didn't realize this until I started working, when I moved here in my office at SB Nation and Vox Media, there are, like, 38 Michigan people, and I had no idea it was such a crazy infestation of Wolverines here.
Infestation.
An infestation. many people.
Okay. All right.
Next.
We got time for a couple more.
Couple more.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys take questions about relationship advice.
I always do. Absolutely. Absolutely.
As someone who doesn't follow a lot of college football.
Good for you.
You've already.
Good for you.
You're a catch.
For my fiance, who is a huge fan of college football, how can I help him cope with a big loss?
It's a good question.
Thank you.
Ty, how do you approach this? I don't react as poorly. I used to. And former relationships were worse off for it. So I've learned to get better. But I think, God, the move is just maybe go out to dinner, go for a walk. Just get him out of the house like he's an upset dog. I think food treats it really well. Forget about booze. Food, fresh air. And does he like cookies? Does he like treats? Give him some treats. And that'll make him feel better.
The solid wife, Kate, has always taken a stance of total avoidance. And by that, and not so much so that she won't interact with me.
Mm-hmm.
She just doesn't care.
Right, right, right.
She just doesn't care. And she has, it's like, oh, they lost. Do you want to go to Anthony's Cold Fire Pizza? Yeah. like there's no buffer.
We gotta get
zone.
Them as a sponsor.
So I would say don't take it too seriously. A lot of college football people take it too seriously. Don't take it too seriously, and don't be afraid to make fun of them.
Yeah, treats.
At least enjoy it if he can't.
Yeah, I hope that helped a little bit. Anybody else have relationship questions?
Let's go one more question.
You're dying.
One more question.
One more question. Last question. Boom. Right here.
My question was: of all the years you've been doing this, what is the most solid verbal moment from the show?
I have one.
The moment that is
peak moment.
Yeah.
The good one was the time that we caught Houston Nutt on the toilet.
That's your number one? Yeah, he did an interview with us.
I mean, solid verbal moment?
Yeah.
That was a solid verbal moment.
That's
the whole first half of the interview is like echoey. And then you hear a sound of some sort.
Yeah.
And you hear a door, and then you don't hear the echo.
Uh-huh.
And East Coast Elliot, who's a friend of mine who's listened to the show forever, emailed me at work one day and then called. He's like, I think he was on the toilet.
Yeah.
So we've never been able to confirm, but that was probably the most solid verbal moment.
So to me, the peak, I really liked it when talking to your kids about Iowa was on game day. That was pretty wonderful. That was pretty wonderful. Just like Ty made a dumb throwaway joke that we rolled with. Whenever we still go on the radio in Iowa, they have us on the radio and they introduce us as like, and they popularized, talk to your kids about Iowa. And they still ask about that. But when they did that on game day, that was pretty
crazy.
They
did it on game day. And the other hidden gem that I don't know if we've ever really divulged, we had a guy who made a meme. You know, the impact, the white impact font over an Iowa family talking to your kids about Iowa.
Yeah, you like that?
And he didn't know it, but he took a stock photo from somebody's like actual portrait in the state of Iowa. And so I remember it was frantic on a Friday night when we got this message, this tweet, and this email from this poor guy somewhere in like Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, can you please take my family off this picture?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my freaking God. Yeah.
That's true. Okay. I'm trying to think of any other moments. I like when we filmed the thing in 2010.
And the Clemsoning thing.
Clemsoning thing was good.
You know, which we stopped using.
Yeah.
RIP. But that was sort of...
Yeah. The Tom Rinaldi thing, I think, was a high in 2010.
We've had a couple.
I'm trying to think of there's anything else.
One of the things that we plan to do this offseason, because it's a long offseason and because we're sort of wrapping up here...
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this now. This will be our 10th season of doing podcasts. And the wasted 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But we've been doing this for 10 years, and our friends over at The Starters, which is a great basketball podcast. If you like basketball, you should check them out.
Yeah, they're the greatest.
They put together like...
Shout out to Justin's. Yeah.
That's right. They put together one of their 10-year anniversary shows where they kind of talk about the origin and the history and some key milestones along the way. So at some point this offseason, I think that's the plan for us.
Exhaustive history.
Yeah, so we'll probably get into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I think that's it.
That's everything I have. Thank you, everybody. Very much.
Thank you
for eating fried chicken with us and putting up with our nonsense. Solid. Ty, where can people check out the show? Is it on FanCred?
We're not on FanCred anymore. Oh, okay, I don't think anything's on FanCred. If you like the show, iTunes.com/solidverbal.
Thank you very
much. Solidverbal.com, solidverbal@gmail.com, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. It's muscle memory at this point, but we do appreciate everyone coming out here, spending their hard-earned dollars to see us mumble on about college football.
Yes.
Thank you to our Vanna White for helping here.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well done. Good wave.
Thank you to our good friend again, Taylor, all the way from Washington, D.C. Thank you to Hill Country Chicken.
Yep.
Thank you to Dan Rubenstein.
Yeah, thanks, Ty.
For that guy over there.
We're doing this?
Are we going to do this?
Okay, hold on. I got to get to the right place. Okay, sorry. Go.
Brandon McKissick.
Oh! Ty, do you have a... We ride! Yeah, okay.
Very heavy hoof.
Yeah.
For that cover there, Dan Rubenstein, I'm Ty Hildebrandt. Stay solid.
Peace!